to another message from God's Word. We enjoy teaching God's Word here at discovertheword.com, and we hope that it is a blessing to you all over the world. I want to ask you to please leave comments on the sermons, if you would. Let me know you're there. Sometimes it feels lonely not having a congregation to see every time and all of the congregation that I have, which is hundreds and thousands. But I'd like to hear from you. Please leave notes on the sermons, how you liked it or whatever. We're in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We're moving right along. And we're talking about the vineyard, the apollonia, the vineyard. Homioi gar esten he basilia ton uramon. Anthropon oite despote hostis exalthane hama proi miso saste. Ergatos eis ton apollona alto. For the kingdom of heavens, the kingdom of the heavens, that's the third heaven up there, by the way. For the kingdom of the heavens is likewise, or in similar as, a man, a oika despote. This means an absolute master of a home, a householder, an administrator, a steward. Now, I want you to understand this, that's very important here, that God is the owner of all the universe. God is the owner of the universe. And we are part of that universe. We are part of it. And He really owns us, especially when we give ourselves to Him. Now, God is going to take those that reject Him and put them in file 13, and they will stay there forever and ever. But those that do something for God in His vineyard and His kingdom will be rewarded. We're all workers in that kingdom. For the kingdom of heaven, of the heavens, is like a man, a landowner, who went out early in the morning to hire workmen in the vineyard of him. In the vineyard of him. Now the word Apollona there is a lady's name, Apollonia. Apollonia means vineyard, and it's a beautiful name. And this name is used in the Song of Solomon also, this Apollonia. The vineyard. Verse number 2, the 20th chapter. Symphonesos. De metaton ergaton, ek denarion, tain hemeron, apestelain autos, eis ton apollona, autu. And moreover, having agreed, having come to the same, it's the word symphony. Our word symphony comes from that word symphony. That means they said together, they agreed. With workers, ergaton. These are the workers. It says out of a denarii. A denarii is a common term for a day's wages. This is for 8 hours' wages, so to speak. The day, and he sent them into the vineyard. He sent them with authority into that vineyard. Verse number 3. Kai ex el thain thon peri tritain. Hora etain olus esatos. Ein te agora agus. And having gone out about the third hour, and that is 9 a.m. Now the other one started real good, real early in the morning. That's daylight, so to speak. And he saw others having been standing around in the marketplace, idle, unemployed, not working. Verse number 4. It's a little bit different than on the streets of the big cities where somebody out there said, I need work with a sign. They don't want work. They want money without work. You see that all the time. You go and try to hire one of those guys sometimes and see if he'll go work. Now this is a different period of time now. Now he said these people are standing idle out there and they don't have a job. Kai ekinos, epen, hipagete, kai, himes, eis, ton, ampelona. Kai ha, an, e, dikaon, doso, himen. And to those he said, you go. And also, you enter the vineyard, and whatever it may become just, I shall give to you. Whatever you do that is fair, I will give you a fair wage. I will give you a fair wage. Now, actually, this is part of verse number 4, 20 verse 5 is, Hoi de apelthon, Paulin de exelthon, peri hectane, kai, en atain, oron, epoieson, hiosontos. But the ones, they went again. And having gone out about the sixth hour, this is 12 o'clock high. And the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And he did the same thing. Over and over again. He went out at early, before daylight. He hired those to go to work at 6 o'clock. He hired those who went to work at 9 o'clock. He hired those who went to work at 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And at 3 p.m. And he did likewise. 20 and verse 6. Peri de tain en de katain. Exalthane hieron alos estates kai lege autois ti hode este kate holon tain hameron agoi. Agoi. And concerning the 11th hour, and that's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a long time now. The first hour is 6 a.m., now this is 5 p.m. At 5 p.m. he went out, and he found others. Having stood there, and he says to them, why here ye have stood the entire day idle. 20 and verse 7. Lugusan auto hoti ades himas emeso sato lege autois hypagete kai himes eis taon apollona. And they say to him, because no one has hired us for wages. No one has hired us for wages. It says to them, you go. Also, you all into the vineyard. 20 and verse 8. Opsios de genomenes, lege ho kyrios, tu apollonos to epitropo, auto kaleson tus ergatos kai apodos, autois ton miston ha zomenos, apoton eskaton, eos ton proton. And evening having come, he says to the master, the master of the vineyard, to the steward, the head man, the straw boss, the foreman, you call the ones, the workmen, and you pay them the wages, having begun from the ones last until the first. Paid the last one first. Kai el sontes hoi peri tain en dakatain oron elabon ana denarion. And having come the ones about the 11th hour, they received each one a day's wages, a whole day's wages. A whole day's wages. And they only worked 1 hour. They got a whole day's wages. 20 in verse 10. Kai elthontes, hoi protoi, eno meson, hoi hote pleon, lemps atoi, kai elabon to ana denarion kai altoi. Now, and having come the ones first, they reasoned. They figured up their paychecks. That more they should receive, but they received the each one of a day's wages also. That word kai there, that's a strong adversative conjunction here, kai. But, right there. But they received each one a day's wages. Labontes de egog, egange gizon, kara to oike despoto. Now this word here, that's egaguzo, that is an onomatopoeic word. And it means to grumble and gripe. And they received and they kept on grumbling and griping and murmuring against the master. 20 and verse 12. Legontes akutoi hoi eskateoi. Mian oran apoiesan kai esus. Hemen autus apoiesos. Tois bastase. To boros te samera. Kai ton kosono. These, having said the ones last hour, they worked. And equal to us, to them, you made the ones having borne the burden, the heat, and the misery of the day. These men had stood in the sirocco, the hot, dry, dust-laden east wind that blasted the grain in Pharaoh's dream in Genesis 4:41 and verse 6. That withered Jonah's gourd in Jonah 4:8. That blighted the vine in Ezekiel's parable in Ezekiel 17 and verse 10. 20 and verse 13. Ho day apokrithes hina auton epen etare uk adok adiko si oki denaru sine phonesos lui. But the one having answered one of them, he says, Mister, sir, this word etare, it means a stranger. Not I endure to you, not of denarii you agreed with, me. This false friend, this etare. This false friend, he said, didn't I, in justice to you, didn't I agree to you that you agreed with me for a day's wages to work all day? I did not deceive you. You knew that your wages would be one day's wages when you began. What you're hearing out there is a lot of thunder. Aron to su kai hepage dele de tuto to escato dene hos kai sui. You take what is yours and you go. But if I wish to this, to the last one, to give as also to you. I just wanted to be charitable to these people, and now you're jealous. I'm the master of the vineyard. I have sovereignty over all I have and over you as you work today. God does what He does, and He does it with what He wishes. Verse number 15 now. Euk existen moi ho telo poiese en tois emois. Eho ophthalmos u poneros esten hote ego agathos eme. He said, isn't it lawful for me to do what I wish to do with the things that belong to me? Or the eye of you, it is twisted and evil. It is. Because I, good, I am. In this Hutos esonte hoi eskatoi, protoi kai hoi protoi eskate. Thus, in the same manner, they shall, the last ones first, and the first ones last. First of all now, let's go back and read this. Now I'm going to tell you the story about what's going on here in the mind of God. What's going on here in the mind of God. 21 verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of an estate who went out into the morning along with the dawn to hire workmen for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a day's wages, a denarius, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also into the vineyard, go, whatever is right, I will pay you. And they went. And he went out again about the sixth hour, 12 o'clock noon, and then the 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he did the same thing. And about 5 o'clock, he went out again and found still others standing idly, and he said to them, why do you stand here idle all day? And they said to him, because nobody has hired us. He told them, you go out into the vineyard also, and you will get whatever is just for and fair. And when the evening came, when the end of the day came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, the straw bulls, call the workmen and pay them their wages, beginning with the last and ending with the first. And then he who had been hired at the 5 o'clock in the afternoon came, and he only worked 1 hour, by the way, and he received the whole day's wages. Now, when the first came, they supposed that they would get more, but each one of them received a day's wages. And when they received it, they grumbled at the owner of the estate, saying, those who came last worked no more than an hour. Yet you have made them rank with us, who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no injustice. Did you not agree with me for a day's wages of denarius? Take what belongs to you and you go, and I wish to choose to give to this man the hired last the same as to you. I am permitted to do what I want to do with what is mine. Or do you begrudge my being generous? Is your eye evil because I am good? So those who now are last will be first then, and those who now are first shall be last then. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now, that is in a later translation because it's not in the Greek. That's where we're going to stop, right there. Now let's think about this. Who were the first ones called? The sons of Abraham, weren't they? The first ones called were the sons of Abraham. That's the Jews. By the way, they didn't do the job. They had been called a long time, but they didn't do the job. When Jesus came, they rejected him. And their eye was evil. Now let's go back and look at some other things. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I remember a long time ago, I knew a man, Sukjasu. He was Brother Soul, and you probably heard me to refer to him at times. And he, by the way, you can listen to him preach twice on discovertheword.com and sermon audio. Just look under Brother Soul, and you'll hear him preach. Brother Soul came from Korea to America. He spent 5 years away from his family, sacrificing his life. 5 years in seminary. He got the highest grades you could get. He was a student with me, and I was also his teacher. I had to teach him Greek and Hebrew. Boy, that was a joke. That man knew every known language. I have a little plaque in the Californian Old River that I wish I had to show you right now, with a little postcard on the back of it from Korea. He gave me this little Korean plaque, and I have in my library down there, that is precious to me. And on the back of it, he thanked me for encouraging him. I brought him to the church I was pastoring. He preached there. I encouraged him. I bought him a tape recorder to help him in his speaking and in his studies. And all kinds of things we did together. And he thanked me. He thanked me graciously. And about 6 months, he was dead. He died of a stroke on a mission field. I was devastated. I was devastated. This man sacrificed 5 years of his life, and he wasn't even on the mission field for 6 months, and he drops dead. I said, "Why, God? Why didn't you take me? He was more important than I am." And then I saw his son come, and I taught his son in the seminary. His son spent 5 years in the seminary. His son went back. Brother Soul was going to start a seminary over there. Brother Soul was going to do great things for God. Brother Soul finished his race. His race only lasted a short time. Only a short time. My stepdad, Dusty, he was always a Christian kind of man. From the very time I met him, he drank a lot, and he quit drinking. And he would always pray at mealtime. And he was always an example to us about... And I was grown. I mean, I was grown. But he was an example of what Christianity ought to be. He'd come to the church where I pastored, and he would give to the church where I pastored. He never professed to be a Christian because he was afraid to be a Christian. He was afraid to be a Christian. Because he had been taught when he was young in the, what we might call a hyper-Armenian philosophy, that if he sinned one sin after he was saved and asked the Lord to forgive him, that he would die and go to hell, and there was no hope for him. He was afraid. He got lung cancer when he was 75 years old. He was diagnosed with a terminal cancer. He wanted me to take him to a Pentecostal church that they was healing. He wanted me to go with him because he trusted me. Now, I didn't believe in that. I took him from church to church to church to church. And I took him to this one revival, and he went there, and he went every time he would go forward for healing. And I told my dad, I said, "Dad, it's not life that matters, it's eternal life that matters." I said, "Maybe God has chosen not to heal you. Maybe this is the end of your life. But there's one more important thing than anything else." I said, "You need to ask the Lord to forgive you and save your soul." I said, "That you need to do." And the last night that I took him up to the service, he went forward and he asked the Lord to forgive him and save his soul, and he did. And then when he came out of that message, after he was there, it wasn't the message that saved him. It was me preaching to him and telling him what God wanted of his life. Yeah. He came out that night and he was gloriously happy. He said, "Jimmy, I know I'm going to die. But I have wasted my life. If I only had a little more time, I could have given so much to the Lord. I could have done so much more. I told him, I said, Dad, you are always an example. I said, I wish my church members were as good as you were. But I said, you just needed to be saved. You just needed to ask the Lord to forgive you and save your soul. He only had a few weeks to live. But the last few weeks of his life, he was gloriously happy. And he was wishing that he'd had more time to serve the Lord. The last shall be first. The first shall be last. When you're out there, maybe you're 60, 70, 80 years old. My mother was saved many years later. And I baptized her when she was after 70 years old. After 70 years old. I've seen people throw their lives away and then get born again. And just fly for a short time and flourish in the Lord. But only a short time. We all have eternal life, and eternal life is forever. The great rewards that God gives with us, that great reward is eternal life. But we also can get other rewards following the Lord. Israel failed God. Israel totally failed. But Israel did, through one woman, produce the Messiah. And we have eternal life through that child. We have lost ones in our family, some very old. Pray before you go and speak to those people. Pray and ask God to open their hearts. Maybe they only have a short time to live, but God can save them, and they will have eternal life like everyone else does. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out. Father, I pray for those out there that might be lost, that they will give in, forsake their sin and their lifestyle, and ask you to forgive them and save them. Father, I pray for all of my students all over the world, whether in Wales or Pennsylvania or New York or Alabama or Texas or wherever they are, Canada, the East Coast, New Jersey, wherever they are, Father, I pray that you bless them with this message, that you encourage them, that you give them hope to reach those in their family that are in the twilight years of their lives. Father, please forgive me where I failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.